Good morning. And let me ask you, if you would, to meet me in Matthew, the 11th chapter. Matthew, chapter 11. We're going to start with verse 25. And I'm going to read through the end of the chapter. Matthew 11, verse 25. If you're there, say amen. If you're not, just say amen anyway. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Verse 28. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." As Jesus utters these words, it is early in his ministry. And yet it has already become clear that he is going to have to face opposition, and that opposition especially is going to come from the religious establishment of his day. There were two groups of leaders, the Pharisees, who were the spiritual leaders, and the Sadducees, who were more politically inclined than spiritually inclined. These two leaders, groups, have become so intimidated by Jesus already that the only thing they know to do is to try and undermine him. Yet, in spite of facing opposition from the most powerful men in all of Israel, the common people are amazingly attracted to Jesus. So beginning in verse 25 of our reading, Jesus is in prayer to the Father. And Jesus says, "You have not revealed these things," talking about himself and his ministry and what that involved. He says, "You have not revealed these things to the wise and understanding." In other words, the people who ought to know who I am and the people who ought to understand what I am about are clueless. But he says, "You have revealed these things to little children." Now, Jesus is not talking about physical children, but he's talking about the outcast, the downtrodden, and the forgotten of his society. In other words, the people who ought to know all about me don't know anything, but the rest of society, whom we think would be ignorant, they understand it and they get it. In verse 27, Jesus makes a statement that he will often make in his ministry, that the only way to get to the Father is by and through the Son. Are you with me? It is at this point that Jesus makes one of the most powerful statements in all of Scripture. It is, in fact, the great invitation. Beginning with verse 28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It was Augustine, who was a theologian and a scholar. And in fact, Augustine was one of the world's greatest minds in the 4th century. And in his writings, it was found, and I quote, "I have heard in Plato and Cicero sayings that were very wise, but I have never heard such words as these: come unto me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It was Queen Victoria who erected a statue in the memory of her mother, Queen Elizabeth. And in this statue, one of Queen Elizabeth's hands were just dangling in death. But in her other hand, there was an open Bible. And chiseled on the page of that open Bible were the words, "Come unto me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Brethren, I submit to you this morning that there may be no words in all of the Bible that give us more encouragement than the Savior's great invitation. There may be no words in all of the Bible that give to us more hope and give to us more peace than this statement where Jesus steps up and where he boldly proclaims of himself that "I am the answer." Now, I want us to take a moment and analyze that statement. Jesus said, "Come, come." Now that implies opportunity. Brethren, understand that we are not passive in our salvation. Salvation is a gift of God, but it is a gift that you and I must come in order to receive. Analyze the statement. Jesus said, "Come to me." It is only Jesus that can impart this rest. It is only Jesus who can impart salvation. Analyze the statement. Jesus said, "Come to me, all." All. God's plan of salvation is a plan that is universal. Understand this very carefully. This morning, whoever you are, wherever you have come from to get here, and wherever you have done in your life, the Savior's invitation to come and partake of the rest of salvation is an invitation that is extended to all, and that includes you. Analyze the statement. Come unto me, all you who are labor and heavy laden. This morning, if you are loaded down, if you are loaded down with anxiety, if you are loaded down with the burdens of life, if you are loaded down with the way of life, Jesus says, you come and you bring your load to me and I can give you rest. Analyze the statement once more. Come to me, all ye who are labor and heavy laden. And what? He said, I will give you rest. Literally, Jesus said, I will rest you. The word rest carries the idea of renew and revive you. Now here's where we're going. When Jesus stood there on that occasion, early on in his ministry, and when those words flowed from out of his mouth, exactly who was Jesus addressing in that great invitation? When Jesus spoke those words, Jesus was specifically and emphatically addressing three groups of people. So who was he talking to? Note with me in the first place that Jesus was specifically addressing those who had been worn out by sin. Worn out by sin. If you don't hear anything else, you hear this, and when you leave, you take this with you. I didn't read this in a book. I didn't hear somebody else say this and think, well, you know what, that's pretty cute, I'll repeat it. If 40 years in the ministry, now over 40 years in the ministry, that's an amazing thing considering I'm 38. You hurt my feelings when you doubt me. If now over 40 years in the ministry has taught me anything, it has taught me this. Sin is exhausting. It is an exhausting thing to have your life run by a liquor bottle. It is an exhausting thing to have your life run by cocaine, by painkillers, or any other substance. It is an exhausting thing to have to live your life and constantly keep looking back over your shoulders, wondering if somebody that you have wronged in one of your yesterdays has now caught up to you today. Understand this morning, sin never improves anything. Sin never builds up anybody. But the only thing that sin will do is sin will leave you laden and sin will leave you burdened down. And when Jesus stood and out of his mouth come the great invitation to come to him and to rest, Jesus was specifically addressing those who had been worn out and exhausted by the sins of their lives. Adam and Eve. Initially, Adam and Eve found great peace in the Garden of Eden. Initially, Adam and Eve knew a contentment that only comes from being in a right relationship with God. But then Adam and Eve chose to sin. And because of sin, their lives quickly fell apart. Because of sin, Adam then had to labor by the sweat of his brow. Because of sin, Eve had to give birth in pain. Because of sin, brother turned on brother. Because of sin, Cain killed Abel. Because of sin, they were taken and spit out of the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve stands at the beginning of the Bible. And Adam and Eve stands at the beginning to serve as a model for all of us that if you choose to live the way of the world and if you choose to rebel against God, your life will be exhausting before it's over with. There was David. When David became the king of Israel, David was literally the darling of Israel. But then came his sin with Bathsheba. Then came David's sin of plotting and killing Uriah the Hittite. And when David engaged in sin, his life spiraled out of control on him. Because of David's sin, David experienced the death of an infant son. Because of this sin, one of David's son, Amnon, raped one of David's daughters, his own half-sister, Tamar. Because of sin, David experienced another son, Absalom, who succeeded in gathering an army around him, and Absalom declared war and tried to take the kingdom away from his own father. And I'm saying that when all of this was over with, David was left exhausted. Are you hearing this? Sin complicates things tremendously. Sin will put you in a position, listen to me, sin will put you in a position where the only choices that you have to choose from are just a bunch of bad options. But that's the way sin is. Now this morning, you and I may not commit the same sin that Adam and Eve committed. And this morning, you and I may not commit the same sin that David or Absalom committed. But understand this morning that every single one of us must carry our burden of sin through life. The question this morning to each of us, the question is not, will I or will I not sin? That is a foregone conclusion. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if we say we have no sin, we've deceived ourselves and the truth is not in us. All of us are sinners. All of us are sinners in the fact that we've all committed sin. And so all of us must pull that burden of sin through life. So the question is not, will I or will I not sin? Rather, the question for each of us is this. What yoke are you going to choose to hook yourself to in order to help you carry that burden of sin through your life? There are some who will choose the yoke of positive thinking. And positive thinking is that's a great thing. I'd rather be an optimist than a pessimist. And I'd rather see the glass half full than to see the glass half empty. But as good as positive thinking is, you need to understand that there are some things that positive thinking alone cannot take care of. You can think positive all you want, but positive thinking will not take care of your sin problem. You can think as positive as you want, but positive thinking alone will not cleanse you of the guilt that you carry every day because of what you have done in your past. There are others who turn to the yoke of self-reliance, and that's how they're going to carry their burdens of sin. I'm my own man. I'm going to be my own woman. I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps, and I'm going to walk, and I'm going to take care of myself. And that is a great attitude as long as you understand there are some things in your life you can't take care of by yourself. You can be as self-reliant as you want. But you can't take care of your sin by yourself. There are those who turn to positive thinking and say, well, I'm gonna carry my burden with that. Others turn, well, I'm going to carry my burden with this or with that. And then there are others who want to carry, they want to use the yoke of escaping reality to carry their burden of sin. So they turn to alcohol. They turn to drugs. They turn to pornography. They turn to food. They turn to anything that they can think of. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And escaping reality will help you for a little while, and it will temporarily give you some relief, but when you wake up the next day, you're more exhausted than you've ever been by how you've lived. There is only one yoke, one, that can successfully help us to carry our burden of sin through life. And that is the yoke that says, come to me, all ye who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Understand very clearly this morning, it is only in Jesus, it is only in Jesus where we can find relief in our reality. It is only in Jesus where we don't have to escape life in order to enjoy life. Some of you have waited all of your life for somebody to look at you and to say to you, if you are tired of sin, if you are worn out by this world, if you are exhausted with the devil, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, I'm telling you, there is a rest. And that rest is found in Jesus, and it isn't found anywhere else. And when Jesus exclaimed that he was the answer, he was emphatically and specifically talking to people who were worn out by how they had lived their lives. Jesus was talking specifically to people who've been worn out by sin. Secondly, as Jesus extended the great invitation, Jesus specifically was addressing people who had been worn out by the rules of man-made religion. The rules of man-made religion. About the time that Jesus began his ministry, the religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees, they began work on what we call today the Talmud. The Talmud basically is a commentary on the first five books of the Old Testament, the old law of Moses. And in this Talmud that is volumes and volumes and goes on forever, they tell the ancient Jew how it was that they were supposed to keep the law. All of their rules ended up being called traditions. And in time, their traditions became more important to them than what the Scripture said. They had rules for everything, but they were their own rules. But everybody had to keep them. Now let me give you one example of these man-made rules and man-made religion. The old law of Moses said to keep the Sabbath. That's all it said. Remember the Sabbath. That's it. But that wasn't good enough for the leaders. So the leader says, now what that means is that everybody has to rest on the Sabbath. So they passed their own rule that said on the Sabbath day it was against the law in order for a man to tie a knot in a rope. A man could not tie a knot in a rope on the Sabbath. They then turned around and said, but it's okay for a woman to wear a girdle on the Sabbath and to tie that girdle to herself. You can't make this up. They said because that girdle was necessary work. You can't make this up. All over ancient Israel, on the Sabbath day, men would take a bucket with one hand and their wife's girdle in the other hand. Don't get ahead of the preacher. They would go out to draw water. They would tie their wife's girdle to the bucket, because it was all right, tied not in a girdle, just not in a rope, and they would dip it down in all order to draw out water and have water for the Sabbath in their homes. Did you hear what I just said? So you're stunned. Brethren, that's how ludicrous religion becomes when we take the simple teachings of the Word of God and when we set them aside in order to follow out after the religion and the rules of men. The religious world this morning is filled with people. It's filled with people who are following after this man and keeping his rules, and following after this man and keeping his rules, and following after that denomination and this denomination, and keeping track of all of their rules. And so the religious world this morning is filled with people who are religious, but they are completely exhausted in their religion, and they are a part of something that will not save them. Jesus said, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." When he stood there on that occasion, when those words poured out of his mouth, he was specifically talking to those who had been worn out by sin. He was specifically talking to those who had been worn out in a religion where they tried to keep man's rules. Very quickly, number three. When Jesus spoke the words of the great invitation, Jesus specifically was addressing people who had been worn out by hardships. If you're not a Christian, let me tell you something you may not know. If you're a Christian, you already know this. Christian people get sick like everybody else gets sick. We get cancer like everybody else gets cancer. Our kids can go off the rails like everybody else's kids can go off the rails. We have heartache and disappointment like everybody else has heartache and disappointment. But here's the difference. The difference is that when hardship comes, Jesus is there to considerably lighten the load. When Jesus said here to take my yoke upon you, when Jesus said here, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, what did he mean? Now, in the ancient world, everybody knew what a yoke was and dealt with them daily. But let me explain it. A yoke is something that is used to hook up two animals together. Maybe a pair of oxen. But many times what happened is that one of the animals was larger than the other animal. And in the case where one animal is larger than the other animal, the yoke can be so adjusted that the larger animal will bear more of the burden than the smaller animal will. So here's what Jesus is saying. You take yourself and you yoke yourself with me. And as we go through life, and when hardship comes, and when we have to scale mountains, and when we have to go through walls, what Jesus said is, listen, I will adjust the yoke, and I'll help carry the larger part of the burden till we can both get back on our feet again. Basically, what he said is what Peter would say later in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, cast all of your anxieties on me because I care for you. I close with this story. There is an ancient legend. Now I emphasize this is a legend. That comes down through Jewish tradition. We know that Jesus did not begin his public ministry until he was 30 years old. We also know that Jesus grew up in the home of a carpenter. And as a Jewish son, Jesus was taught the trade of the man in the house, Joseph, so Jesus grew up as a carpenter. The legend says that Jesus became famous as a young man for his yoke making. And that people would come from miles and miles around in order to purchase a yoke that Jesus had made. The legend goes on to say that there was a sign written over the door of the carpenter's shop where he worked, which read, "My yokes fit well." Now, I don't know about the truthfulness of the legend, but I know the truthfulness of this statement. The yokes of Jesus fit well. If you're sick and tired of just being sick and tired, if you're sick and tired, if you're exhausted by how you've lived your life, if you're sick and tired of trying to get up on Sunday and go to church and following all of the rules of some religion or all of the rules of some denomination, or if you are worn out by the hardship of life, and if it seems like every time the world turns over, it lands on you, I got great news for you. Jesus said, "Come to me, and I will rest you." How do I come? There's only one way to come, and that's how he said. You must come believing. Jesus said, unless you believe that I am who I say I am, you can't make it. Jesus said, we must repent. You see, I don't know what that means. Here's what repentance means. Repentance is a spiritually motivated change of life. That's what it is. You must confess Jesus to be the Son of God. And then in coming, by your faith, you are baptized for the remission of sins. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And you can argue and disagree with that all you want, but when nighttime comes, it's still going to say that. So this morning, if you're worn out, the Savior extends to you the great invitation to come, to be renewed and to be revived. May God help you to do that right now. Press to the front as we stand and as we sing.